May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, here we are on this fine summer morning to celebrate Pentecost, one of the five big feasts of the church year. The other big feasts in the year have, for us as Episcopal Anglicans, more naturally accrued means of celebration. All Saints and All Souls is a big marker in the fall with big music, flowers, and our list of those we love but see no longer. Epiphany has Twelfth Night, a big family brunch here, of course, Three Kings, King Cake, and of course, Christmas and Easter are piled high with music and liturgy and cultural observance. But Pentecost eludes us a bit. It has become the custom of Episcopalians to refer to this feast as the birthday of the church. Jesus is gone, and so now it's up to us. The Holy Spirit was definitively given to the disciples at Pentecost, and so now belongs to the church forever through their lineage. This story justifies our mission and our authority. But if we're honest, this doesn't hold up to scrutiny, does it? Because we don't think or teach that Jesus is gone. We assert his endless and continual presence. And we don't really think, or at least we hope not, we don't really think or teach that the kingdom is truly in our hands, because we see and feel our shortcomings, and so we take refuge in Jesus as our hope. And furthermore, the miraculous, momentous, and completely ephemeral appearance of the Spirit in the public square does not signal a commission or grant reliable authority to anyone. It is an untamed instant of revelation that happens outside of religion as we know it. I think that is why we, certainly as Anglicans, find Pentecost somewhat impenetrable. It describes a moment that resists easy linear sense and does not offer a comfortable affirmation. Let's review the story. What are the elements we're dealing with here? The disciples are gathered. There is a loud sound, a sound loud enough to draw a crowd. And so there's also a crowd. There's fire, but not the sort of spiritual fire we're accustomed to that we just sang about in the hymn, for example, the fire inside of us, the fire of love, the fire illuminates. This Pentecost fire is more like pyrotechnics, a fire that is there and then gone, that behaves strangely, hovering, suspended. Is it over everyone's head? The crowd too? Just the disciples? Just the apostles? Unclear. Okay, so we have a loud sound, we have visual temporary fire, and we have disciples leading, convening with their message, and we have a crowd who, it says, is very diverse, and who is really getting into this event. They're from all over, and they are amazed that they are hearing about God in their own languages. And we also have scoffers, people who see the gathering, but for some reason cannot enter into it and try to reduce it. They must be drunk. Now, this scoffing is essential, because it is our clue to the real atmosphere. That this event could be read as collective intoxication suggests that this event is out of control, that it is wild, that there is an ecstatic component to it, that it is breaking the rules of propriety, seeming inappropriate, chaotic, improper. Now, this is clearly at odds with Anglican ecclesial piety. This kind of event does not promote lead to or even speak of good values or sustainable community or one of my favorites, repeated liturgical pattern of prayer or fine architecture or nice suits and brunch afterwards. We have here a fleeting moment of collective, unmanaged ecstasy, marked by multiple languages and a diverse crowd, loud sound, pyrotechnics, and the deep sense of the power of God as spirit happening outside synagogue or temple or church, led by people who have no religious authority or credential. Funny, but I was part of just such an experience a few weeks ago. I was with 50,000 people, an incredibly diverse crowd in terms of ethnicity and age and language, drawn together by thrillingly loud sound, unparalleled pyrotechnic arts, and leaders with no religious credential whatsoever, sharing a message of love as the means of resistance to darkness and the source of strength in various languages that we could all understand. It was a shockingly sober crowd who became intoxicated together on the beauty of the shared energy of love. It was also a moment that can be scoffed and sneered at. Yes, some of you may have guessed it. I am talking about my beloved Korean supergroup, BTS, and their world tour concert called Love Yourself, Speak Yourself, held at the MetLife Stadium a few weeks ago. At the end of the concert, the group leader, Kim Namjoon, spoke to the assembled crowd. He called our attention to the intensity and preciousness and reality of the moment that we were sharing even as it slipped away from us. His message was then sung by the group in the lyrics of their final song called Microcosmos that goes like this. Inside those pitch black nights, the lights we saw in each other were saying the same thing. People are light. People are stars. In this place full of where people are lights, we are shining. Starlight that shines brighter when the night is darkest. The deeper the night, the brighter the starlight. I breathe while looking at you. Inside those pitch black nights, shine, dream, smile. Oh, let us light up the night and shine in our own ways. Isn't that beautiful? Doesn't that sound an awful lot like Jesus' commission to us throughout the Gospel of John? You are the light. The light is in you. I am the light. You are the light. It is the same light. And no matter how dark the night, the light will not be quenched. That is the source of the deep peace that Jesus offers. And isn't that the best commission of Pentecost? Let us light up the night. Let us see light in one another in this place where people are full of light. The story is ours, each of us, and together. And that shared light is what we know of the power of God. The fact that the BTS concert feels like the Pentecost story is a reminder that the Holy Spirit is not bound by religion. She can show up wherever she wants. She is not owned by the church. She might not even best be understood in the church. She's not defined by a linear agenda. She does not care to affirm social propriety. The Holy Spirit is likely to be found in an unexpected instant, in collective ecstasy. If we truly wished to claim being commissioned, ruled, led, directed by the Holy Spirit, what would that mean for us? It would mean, in part, we would have to resist the temptation to value linear progress. Measurable goals, achievable growth, social propriety. Those values, though they may be fine and good, are not the charisms of the Holy Spirit that we discover in today's story. How shall we take this into our lives? We must look for the Spirit, wait for it, cultivate the willingness to be astonished by it. We must be ready to surrender to surprising collective experiences of love. Pentecost is a story that can be easily scoffed at, missed, and dismissed. Am I willing to put my real trust in fleeting moments of ecstatic knowledge of God? To those being baptized, to all of us renewing these vows, may we have the grace to trust the power of the Spirit in the message of Pentecost. May we have many experiences of seeing the light in one another and surrendering to the power of unexpected love. May we be renewed. Come, Holy Spirit.